Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Well, I'm joined on the line now by Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment and Fine Gael TD for Longford West Meath. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. I know you're at the Fine Gael think-in today, and I'd say you're all over the shock now of that Apple judgment yesterday, and maybe you've moved on to having conversations around how you're going to spend the extra €14 billion on whatever the government decides to use it for.
Well, obviously we have to really reflect on the judgment first. That's the key thing we have to do across government, and then it will form part mainly of the next government to decide essentially what that scale of money can be made do for the benefit of all our citizens right across the country. It's a very significant chunk of money, and it's one which we have to be very careful of, because in an economy now where we're spending about €14 billion on capital projects every single year, we have to be careful that it is deployed in a way which would not overheat the economy, and secondly, which delivers best value for the taxpayers and the working families right across the country.
Is it your own fiscal rules that prevent you from spending this money? Because you've got a prudential measure in place, don't you, following the bust? But you don't really have to stick to that, because I remember Leo Varadkar was in here just after he stepped down, and he said one of his key regrets was not spending the money that you had at your disposal.
Now, we have new EU fiscal rules which we have to adhere to, and a policy framework in terms of budgetary policy which kicks in next year. But critically, which is an important thing, is even if you could spend all this money at once, the capacity of the Irish economy to absorb it all and get value for money and not drive us into an inflationary position would be great. So what we have to do here is, who do the Irish people trust to spend this wisely? And as a government which I've been a member of that has come through in the last 6 years, from Brexit to a global pandemic where we had a situation by many people across the economy lost their jobs. We've had the first war in mainland Europe, which disrupted supply chains right across the world. And we have really recovered from that, to say that from the eve of the pandemic now, we have 400,000 more people working in our country. And the question is, it's about trusting a government to get the big calls right.
But
because
even
if any of those are got wrong, we'd have different conversations.
But looking at it specifically from your point of view, like, there is only one place that this can go or should go, from your point of view, infrastructure, because we have full employment, but we don't have enough homes, we don't have enough services for the people that we need to live and work here. Here's an opportunity to change that.
Absolutely. We have to manage our capital expenditure, which we are, over the next horizon of the government. And obviously, we have €160 billion, which has the capacity to transform our communities. And we can see the benefit of that, because we're having better broadband speeds that can rival anywhere around the world in some very rural
parts. I don't want to talk about what we have. I know what we have, but what we need. Are you telling us we can't spend this money on what we need because it will overheat the economy?
Absolutely not. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying we have to manage how we spend it properly. So some commentators put forward this view that you can spend €14 billion in one fell swoop and change everything almost overnight. I've no doubt this would be spent many times over in studios like this. Mm-hmm. As a government, what we have to do is to set out a plan how you can manage and spend that money where it doesn't have adverse effects in the Irish economy,
so what are you,
that doesn't
what are,
drive inflation over the cliff.
What are your ideas, Minister? What are your ideas for the money?
Well, Fine Gael will put forward their own ideas when, obviously, the general election comes, because my view is that, obviously, we have to respond to it as a government now, but obviously this money won't be in the Irish Exchequer for a number of months, potentially the best part of a year. And what we have to do then, obviously, or the new government will have to do, is assess whereabouts over what time frame that money has to be managed. And obviously, we have a very strong track record of managing government expenditure, and you can see that
what
in terms
do you think
of how
yourself?
We've got through COVID.
I mean, do you bank it or do you spend it?
Well, I think as a government, we will have to form that view. But Claire, you can look at many different areas. You have to get the right balance of how much do you use to pay down your debt, because obviously we have to look how our country is financed. We rely on obviously funding to ensure we can pay down our debts and we can raise money in the markets at a low interest rate. You have to decide how much you put into our grid, because we know we have a huge challenge in relation to transporting energy right around the country. We have to really upgrade our grid into the future. We have obviously to continue building as many homes as we can. We're building 200 into construction every single day, 500 first-time buyers getting the keys to their new home every single week, and new forms of tenure like cost rental and affordable housing scheme, giving people that opportunity. And also,
but there's nothing specifically. You're not telling us that you're going into those. You're not going into those conversations saying, here's the one thing that I think we should do with this money.
But the reality is you cannot spend it all on one thing. That would be reckless.
I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you for an idea where you think, well, this should take precedence.
I've outlined four areas, four separate areas, which I think could form part of how you respond to spending a large sum of money like that over time, which would not overheat the Irish economy. And this is the key thing. You know, we are increasing capital expenditure. We're only spending 4 billion back in 2017. We're going over 14 billion now. And people can see the benefit of that, because we've more jobs in our economy. We're investing in capital expenditure, which gives the state the best chance to attract employment. And we're looking to add 100,000 more jobs in the next 12 months into our economy. That would be 100,000 more families with an additional income going into them. And that's how you tackle poverty and give people a chance to realise their ambition in life.
And listen, Cliff Taylor in the Irish Times writes today that the ruling in itself is embarrassing. Are you embarrassed by it?
Absolutely, I'm not embarrassed by it. I think.
Well, why did the government spend 10 million defending it then?
Because we had no choice but to defend it.
And
if we hadn't defended it.
You did. Because Apple were taking.
But
Apple were taking the case anyway. It was a decision to join it. You weren't compelled by anybody to join the case.
So if we look at the real history here, obviously, Claire, the tax changes that happened back in 1990, whereby there were no taxation models on exporting when companies exported, a new corporate tax regime was brought into Ireland then. And what we know in Ireland is that the Revenue Commissioner is independent in the performance of his duties. It's independent in how it deals with taxpayers right around the state. And at that time, you had new rules, a company set up in 1980 that was asking the Revenue Commissioner to adjudicate on how its income should be taxed on worldwide sales, and as well as a product that its components were made in very different jurisdictions. So essentially, when the Revenue Commissioner makes that ruling, we stand by it because it's our sovereignty. It gives certainty. And if we did not defend that case at this point in time, what would happen is that other multinational companies will say, well, this is a government who doesn't trust its own independent tax authority. And what that would send to investors is there's no regulatory certainty in Ireland. But what has happened now is that we changed the rules. The prism that we judge that case now in is back in the 1990s and 2000s, and we've really changed our tax code. And the important point to get across here is that the OECD has Ireland at the highest ranking of transparency. We have numerous, over 70 tax treaties around the globe. We have numerous exchange agreements, and that's why we're a modern economy that has led the change in the rules. And
but it doesn't change. It doesn't change the fact, you know, and this is generally accepted in any of the analysis I've read this morning, that this is reputationally damaging for Ireland. Do you accept that?
I don't, because I meet many of, and I'm very privileged to meet many of the chief executives and senior management of the multinationals as I go around doing my job. And what they require is certainty. And my view is that had we not taken that action, we would not have 24 billion euro every single year come in on corporation tax right now. And the challenge in terms of how we put that to the future and spend on delivering more homes, that gives us the resources to really improve the lives of people right around our country. It's our core economic model. And if we had not stood by our own independent revenue commissioner at that point in time, the consequences we would be having now and the discussions we'd be having now about a budget where we have significant resources would be very different. And that's my core point, Claire.
Well, let's get on to this big EU competitiveness report, which was put together by Mario Draghi. And he wants to see this massive investment in the EU, describing it as unseen for half a century. Like, he's talking about a fund which would be two or three times the size of the Marshall Plan after World War II. But where is that money going to come from?
Well, obviously, it'll have to be raised through the EU. You saw whereby we had specific instruments through COVID where we raised significant funding through the EU to try and hold on so many jobs. And Ireland formed a key piece of that jigsaw because we were able to protect our jobs. So now looking into the future, we're in a very difficult global landscape. There are so many trade tensions between China, the US administration and Europe. And that's why the Taoiseach and myself had a real look at this in terms of preempting a lot of this change in Europe. We had a competitive summit last week. And what we're looking at is trying to ensure that Ireland is ahead of the game in terms of our competitiveness, that in relation to the Draghi report, we are looking how we have multi-annual funds that we can compete and apply for European funds when you're talking about semiconductor activity in our state. You know, areas where so many important activity happens in Ireland that is crucial to Europe, never mind the globe. And that's critically that we are sharp, we're agile, we're able to apply for those funding streams and that we protect our economy by doing that. And I think that summit, which I brought a memo to Cabinet there on Tuesday, is so important that we invest in our grid, we become more competitive. And we are from a glass half full because we are the most competitive economy in the Eurozone at present. But we have to watch our infrastructural piece into the future. And that's going to be critical.
Well, there you said, I mean, we're at the front edge, you say, on competitiveness. So France and Germany might need this supercharged investment fund, but we can't keep up with ourselves in Ireland because our economy and our employment rates are powering on. So are we going to be paying into something that we don't really need and we won't benefit from?
No, absolutely not. And that's why we're very careful on that. We're very to the foremost in protecting the single market, because one thing the single market does clear, and that's why Draghi mentions competitiveness, which is important, it guarantees the rules are an equivalence, the same right across the single market. And that's important that we don't enter into a subsidy race in other areas, because we've had the Inflation Reduction Act in the US where they are buying their own products. They're incentivizing citizens right across the US to do that. We don't want to get in a race with the US and China. So it's important that we think, what are the most important areas that we're vulnerable in? We're vulnerable in, obviously, the transformation to a sustainable economy, the key components for that, like our batteries, our aluminium, all those key components we need to invest in. And in terms of the digital age, we need to look at our semiconductor activity and how we really ensure that Europe is competitive, that we don't fall short on the key ingredients that are needed to form part of the sustainable transformation that we're making now. And that's what's at stake here, is how you manage that investment in key areas that are central to Europe to become more sustainable into the future.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I said, you're at the Fine Gael thinking, and I'm sure your colleagues there will be talking about when the election will be, whether it will be in November or it'll be next March. Is the only thing holding it back now Simon Harris's fear of being remembered as the shortest serving Fine Gael Taoiseach ever?
That is not even a consideration, Claire, and I say that very genuinely to you. What people are focused on is how much more we can get done in this government, how we can keep delivering for families up and down the country. Taoiseach, myself and other members of my party have been right around the country over the last number of years, and particularly since our new Taoiseach was elected, Simon Harris. He has brought a whole host of new energy and ability right into the heart of Cabinet, and that's why we want to see now what we refocus on, what are our main priorities now and until the government ends. And that's trying to improve childcare, continuing that trajectory, reducing childcare fees for families, trying to ensure that we make education more accessible. 150,000 hot meals going to primary children right around the country. Mm-hmm. We have free school books for primary children and now secondary up to junior cert. And you can see in terms of third level education.
You don't want to go to the country in November.
What I want to do is keep working as hard as I can every day. I feel there's a whole lot more I can do between now and when this government ends or winds up.
You wouldn't want to see the election in November.
Well, the election is the prerogative of the coalition leaders. What I want to see and what the Taoiseach is very focused on is delivering for the Irish people. He has been up and down the country and met so many people and communities and really listened to their fears and their hopes and aspirations into the future. And we will be delivering on that by providing more employment, as we've given certainty to people who are investing in our economy, providing more opportunity in education.
You're not ruling it out, because it's just interesting because we've been speaking to all of the parties over the last few days. Like, Fianna Fáil are really out of the traps on budget issues. Micheál Martin's been out in the front page of the Mail last week saying child benefit is going up. The Greens in here pushing for a lump sum for new parents. I mean, you're talking about doing as much as you can before March. Is there a risk that the prudent Fine Gael look like the misers in the run-up to the election when everybody else is at the starting gate?
No, because the prudent Fine Gael governs in substance. We really ensure that the decisions we make has the benefit directly to communities right up and down the country.
And Fianna Fáil and the Greens don't?
Well, that's why I said at the start, we have a track record of delivering in government. And as we've seen from, you know, many of the challenges we faced in the last 6 years, each of those you wouldn't see in a generation. We faced four or five events in the space of 6 years. And to say that we have 400,000 more people employed in our country since the eve of the pandemic, that we are at a record level of tax revenue coming into our country, and that means we can make mm-hmm. people's lives better. We can improve childcare, we can improve education, we can improve third level education, giving people opportunities that they couldn't have imagined decades ago. And that's what we're focused on doing in
Minister,
government. And we will continue every day to do that.
So does it niggle you when Fianna Fáil are growing around dropping tenors around the place to everybody in the lead up to the budget? Because clearly what they're doing is they're electioneering, right?
We are going around communities every single day, and that's what we're focused on, listening to people, listening to hardworking families who are trying to grapple with increasing costs, and we want to see how best we can respond. And obviously we will work with our coalition leaders to do that. But our focus always in government is trying to do the right thing every single day, trying to improve people's lives. We're very focused on that now, and protecting our business. We have so many family businesses right across the country that have endured a lot of increased costs over the last number of years, and we want to protect them and ensure that we have their back and continued employment that they give. About so many jobs depend on our family businesses, and it's closing that cycle with our multinationals, because there's a strong link between, for every 10 jobs the IDA create, 8 more are created in our smaller family businesses. So that's going to be so important.
Minister, we'll let you get back to the thinking, and I'm sure the chats about when the election will be. That's Fine Gael Enterprise Minister Peter Burke. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.